Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
It was that same yearning for freedom that nearly 250 years ago gave birth to a special place called America. It was a small cluster of colonies caught between a great ocean and a vast wilderness. It was home to an incredible people with a revolutionary idea that they could rule themselves, that they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world.
Well, hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Congratulations to all who have worked so hard for the 2021 elections. We have been talking about the need for victory here, and you have done it. You have done great victories, working together with one another, working together with Right Side Broadcasting Network, working in collaboration with us at Priests for Life, working in collaboration with the party, the Republican Party, and the campaigns of the various Republican candidates, whether in Virginia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, various other places where significant victories have occurred. You have done some great things. And we want to just give you a few reflections and thoughts. I'm sure that so many of you patriots who follow politics so closely have been thinking about this and talking about it throughout the day. But I want to add my reflections in as well and reinforce many of the things you've already heard. But thank you. I want to start with that. And we want to thank the Lord because, you know, the pendulum of American politics always swings. It swings back and forth. And as we have been saying for over a year now, whatever the results of any particular election might be, the American political body always readjusts itself. And we are seeing in a very strong way what I would call the first fruits of that swinging back, of that readjustment in the election results last night of the 2021 races. All good things come from the Lord, and this is a big step forward that we should give thanks for reasons that we'll delve into a little bit. So let's sing a psalm of thanksgiving. We'll pray it together. That comes from Psalm 136, and you know, I want to invite you to say the response to this. There's a response after every verse, which says, "For his mercy endures forever." Because we see signs in this election of God's continued mercy on America. And this whole program is about praying for America. So we want to claim victory in prayer. We want to thank God for the victory that he is giving us. And I say is giving because, as I say, these election results are first fruits. There's a victory unfolding. There's a swinging back that is in the process of happening. And we're going to see it more and more in the months to come and in the election of the midterms a year from now. So Psalm 136, a psalm of thanksgiving for the kindness of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. Who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. Who made the heavens in wisdom, for his mercy endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, for his mercy endures forever. Who made the great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his mercy endures forever. Who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from their midst, for his mercy endures forever. with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. Who split the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever. And led Israel through its midst, for his mercy endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. Who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. Who smote great kings, for his mercy endures forever. And slew powerful kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And made their land a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. The heritage of Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our distress, for his mercy endures forever. And freed us from our foes, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all living things, for his mercy endures forever. To the God of heaven give thanks, for his mercy endures forever. Lord God, we do thank you for your mercies on America, and you continue to show mercy to us as you bring people in the voting booth to reject extreme policies and platforms and positions. Lord, we thank you for all the work, the hard work that has been poured into these 2021 elections, whether for judges in Pennsylvania or for governors in Virginia and New Jersey, or state legislators also in both of those places, for mayors across the country and other officials. Lord, we thank you for all the time and energy and resources that are poured in to making elections successful. We thank you for all the people that have done so much work, for all the candidates and their teams. Lord, we thank you for this process that we have in America where we can have peaceful elections. And Lord, we thank you for the progress that has been made and for the sign that it gives to people across the country as to what direction the nation is moving in now. We thank you and we praise you and we ask you to continue to enable us to build upon the victories that have been won, to take note of the challenges that are ahead, and to diligently commit ourselves to doing the work that remains to be done. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, in many ways, you know, this day after Election Day really launches the midterm elections. I mean, for us, they were underway already. We have been thinking and talking and writing about it and broadcasting about it. But really now we can say we've got to look full force and engage 100% in the task of the midterm elections. And we can do so with confidence because of the bellwether nature of the election that we just saw. Kamala Harris, I got a number of things here that I want to quote for you. But let's start with Harris and her. Do I have that here? Harris said, well, you know, what happens in Virginia is going to tell us what it's going to be like in 2022, 2024, and on from there. So it's true. You know, Virginia, especially Northern Virginia, heavily Democrat area right there close to the swamp of Washington, D.C. We have had last year the Democrats winning the state by 10 points. And then we have also had got a number of other statistics here. The Democrats have won a lot of elections there for a long time. And yet we begin to see now from last night a pattern. First of all, let's take a couple of the counties. Chesterfield County was a +7 for Biden a year ago. Last night it was a +10 for Glenn Youngkin, who won the governor's race. In Virginia Beach City, Biden won by 5 points, but last night Youngkin won by almost 20 points. some significant changes. There was in the Fox News polling, a 5 percentage point advantage, as you may recall, for the Democrat, former governor and abortion extremist, by the way, Terry McAuliffe, 5 point advantage for him not that long ago. And it switched in just a couple of weeks to an 8 point advantage for his opponent, who ended up winning, Glenn Youngkin. So we have Senator Tom Cotton commenting on this in the following way. In a tweet, he said, if you shut down schools, force kids to wear masks, indoctrinate them to hate America, call their parents domestic terrorists, and lecture them about pronouns, don't be surprised when the voters reject your party. The Democrat Party is all in on all of these things, and there's no signs of them repenting. There's no signs of them waking up. And so they're going to lose elections. They lost this race for the Virginia governor that the vice president said was going to be a signal of where things were going to go in 2022-2024. They were astonished in New Jersey. As we tape this program right now, because this is a taped program today, we have a still too close to call race in deep blue New Jersey for governor. Well, it wasn't supposed to be that way. It was supposed to be a comfortable victory for the deluded Democrat. But no, it wasn't that way. It didn't turn out that way. You know, you've got a party that is standing and running, as we said, on pronouns, Senator Cotton said, on global warming, defunding the police, big, 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 big influence in Virginia, especially the critical race theory. We've all followed what happened in the Loudoun County and the school board meetings and the parents getting angry about what was happening to their children. And then, of course, added on top of all of this, trying to muzzle the speech of those parents, call them domestic terrorists, and just shut down all kinds of freedom. No, none of this sits well with the American people. And so we are beginning to see the pendulum swinging. You know, the pattern that we're seeing here is similar to what happened back in, first of all, you can go all the way back to 1994, you remember with House Speaker Newt Gingrich and the red wave of Republican takeover of the House. At that time, it was the first takeover of the House in 40 years. Well, that victory in those midterms came after a Republican win in, again, these off-year states of Virginia and New Jersey and their governor's races. Then they repeated again in 2009. Remember, Obama had been elected in 2008. And then in 2009, when we had the off-year election, Bob McDonnell won the governor's race in Virginia as a Republican. Well, what followed in 2010 was a very significant Republican victory in the midterms as well. So political analysts are saying, okay, you know, that's the kind of pattern that we're seeing unfold before our eyes right now. It wasn't just that closely watched governor's race in Virginia, which, by the way, Youngkin was endorsed by President Trump, who spoke out strongly for him. I endorsed him in my personal capacity. And took part in various activities among Virginians for his election. And many of you, of course, joining in this effort, whether you're in Virginia or not. You know, I've been pointing out to people throughout the election, doesn't matter if you're in Virginia. When we utilize things like social media, People in Virginia can see it no matter where you live. And so it's a matter of connecting with the people, not necessarily being there yourself, where, of course, you have the privilege of actually casting a vote. But no, speaking your mind more and more is transcending these geographical limits and influencing people in really good ways. But it wasn't just that closely watched, hard-earned Virginia governor's race. Pro-life judges won their elections in the state of Pennsylvania. As we're taping this program, still one of those races is being still being finalized. Likewise, in again, I mentioned in New Jersey, it wasn't supposed to be so close. And then you have a number of local seats that flipped to Republican, but you also have the legislature in Virginia. Republicans, again, at the time of this taping, set to take over, switching that General Assembly from Democrat majority to Republican. That's very significant. State legislatures are very significant in these elections. So we have a really, really good reason for confidence here, and very strongly so. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to look at a little bit more of a deep analysis here that I have in front of me about these races. What are some of the keys here to the success of the Republican Party last night all across the country? Well, first of all, let's just go through 6 points, and then I want to talk about the issue that I deal with all the time, abortion, and how that has fed into this as well. First of all, voters reject the mask mandates and the vaccination mandates and the vaccination lockdowns. Voters are sick of this, and that is coming out. And the Republican candidates spoke about this and made it into an issue where it already was echoing in the minds and the concerns of the citizens. And a second thing, black voters were said to be essential to McAuliffe's campaign in Virginia, but they didn't turn out. And mandates may have had something to do with that as well. Biden, of course, at the head of the party, has a complete free fall, a collapse of his numbers of support. And we saw that especially after the debacle in Afghanistan. We see, of course, the ongoing crisis at the southern border, inflation, questions about his mental capacity, and all of this leading to a lot of disenchantment and lowering of his collapse, as I say, of his poll numbers. Critical race theory. Governor-elect Youngkin said, first day of my administration, this is out the window. This is not going to be push down the throats and into the minds of our children in Virginia schools. He made a clear point of it. Critical race theory, gender politics, all this garbage is not sitting well with the Virginia voters. It doesn't sit well with parents across the country. The economy, obviously, having a great impact on voters. Democrats are leading us down the wrong path. And then President Trump himself, as I say, he endorsed Glenn Youngkin and both the Democrat candidates for governor attempted to paint their challengers as puppets of Donald Trump, but he did not in any way prove to be a liability or a negative for these candidates. Very much the opposite. President Trump continues to be the most influential influencer in American politics right now. And we need to follow his lead and follow his messaging. I want to urge you to do that each day over at DonaldJTrump.com. And so, brothers and sisters, the abortion issue likewise played in. Now, let me tell you something about how this issue affects American politics overall. Pro-life is a strong advantage. All kinds of polling after major national elections shows that people who are pro-life, people who are against abortion, and who believe that the candidate that they vote for needs to share their own position on abortion, vote with more intensity. The pro-life people vote with more intensity than the pro-abortion ones by a 2-to-1 margin, many polls reveal. In other words, let me explain it this way. When you look at the voters, and some of these polls put the number at 20 or even 23% as voters who are influenced above all by the abortion issue and say that the candidate has to share their view on this issue, of those voters, there's a 2-to-1 margin in favor of pro-life. So given that so many elections are won by single digit or very, very small percentage margins, it's a winning issue. Just that issue alone. Now, you might not see in polling where voters are asked, well, what's your main issue in this election? You may not see the abortion issue showing up there. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't have this overriding significant issues, because what voters are doing is sifting out ahead of time the candidates who are in favor of abortion. In other words, you could have a whole bunch of voters that you're asking, well, what are the dominant issues for you in this election? Or what's motivating you in this particular race? And they've already, as a given, said, well, we vote pro-life. That doesn't mean they're going to say, oh, well, this is the most important issue for me. It means that they're already on a stance where it's understood, it's a given, it's a pre-selected factor that they're not going to vote for people in favor of baby killing any more than you would vote for a terrorist. You're not going to vote for somebody who's against these fundamental things. So that's a given over here. And then they look at the race and they say, okay, well, what are the issues that are motivating me above all? And they'll list, the various issues that we're all familiar with. But pro-life is always playing a very significant part in all of this. And in Virginia, let's look again at that governor's race. Of course, first of all, there's a very clear distinction here between Republicans and Democrats anyway. Republicans have never been more strongly pro-life in their platform, and the Democrats have never been more strongly pro-abortion. So there is a stark difference in the parties, you know, this time around, last year, this year. You know, Democrats are jettisoning the longstanding bipartisan supported Hyde Amendment, which has saved 2.5 million lives by protecting our tax dollars in the Medicaid program from going for abortion. So the Democrats jettisoning that. Voting recently, as you saw in the House of Representatives, for the most extreme abortion bill that's ever been introduced. They've gone completely off the deep end in embracing the evil of abortion. McAuliffe, the Democrat failed extremist candidate in Virginia, campaigned on unlimited abortion. He did various abortion ads, talking about how much in favor of abortion he is. And Glenn Youngkin, credit to him and his campaign, pushed back against that with a powerful pro-life ad showing the extremism of McAuliffe and the Democrats. How there's no limit. In fact, the name of the ad was No Limit. There's no limit on the circumstances in which these Democrats support the killing of children in the womb. No limits at all. Never mind the fact that most Americans reject late-term abortion. Never mind the fact that most Americans want parental involvement if a minor wants to get an abortion. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care, just like they don't care about any on any other issue, what the people really think. They only listen to their own crazy ideas. So Glenn Youngkin fought back against this, made it clear that he was pro-life, and made it clear that McAuliffe and the Democrats are the ones who are extreme on this issue. And it worked. And it helped, as it always helps. It helped President Trump himself when he fought back against Hillary Clinton's extremism on abortion. You remember the third debate back in the 2016 campaign. You rip babies outside of the womb at 9 months into the pregnancy. You might think that's okay, but it's not okay with me. And he was talking in plain language, just like the rest of us feel all across the country. It's not okay with us that these children are being killed, and no public official should tolerate it. So whether it's that or these all these other issues, we have here now an important indicator of the swinging pendulum of American politics. So I want you to be encouraged and energized. Let this series of victories, like I said, we had pro-life judges elected in Pennsylvania. We had all kinds of victories. Let these victories encourage you today and help you to commit now to working with us for the midterms. I want to encourage you to go to prolifevote.com. That's an election website I'll be referring you to frequently. We have started doing trainings, online gatherings, meetings. You can sign up for them on the website. Resources that we'll provide for you, both online and also in print and materials and updates. And we're going to have all kinds of activities going on district by district, because we have to take back the House of Representatives, state by state. We have to take back the U.S. Senate, and preparing victories in the midterms will prepare us also for a presidential victory in 2024. And as President Trump keeps saying, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful victory. We're coming back. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the process by which we elect our leaders in this country. Thank you for the insight and the vigor that you give us to work that process. Thank you for the commitment to life that you give us, just as human beings who have the basic instinct to protect our children. Thank you, Lord, for the victories that have been won. Thank you for the victories that are on the horizon. We want to pray very explicitly, Lord, that your people get involved in these midterm elections, that they rally to win back the House of Representatives, to put it under pro-life and Republican control, to win back the U.S. Senate, Lord, and eventually the White House as well. Bring us these victories, for we love America and we love your kingdom of life, truth, and freedom. And we pray now in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, friends, as we work together for the midterm elections, be in touch with me on social media. You can find me at Fr. Frank Pavone on Parler and Getter, on Instagram and Twitter, on YouTube, and then on Facebook, Father Frank Pavone. Let's stay connected there. Please follow me there. Sign up. Let's stay in touch. And then Right Side Broadcasting Network as well, of course, on social media at RSB Network. Thank you. Spread the word about these programs. We've got a lot of work to do, and we'll look forward to talking with you again tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.